If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, and the Bible says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get thee down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Heviel unto thou comest ashore, that is over against Egypt. And he took King Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Then Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee the king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, a sheep and oxen, and chief things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. I won't preach just a little while tonight, if God will be my help on this thought. Listen up. Amen. Listen up. As Samuel was talking here, and he talks to Saul, and he said, Saul, the Lord has sent me to anoint thee king over his people, Israel, over, even Israel. He said, God sent me to do that. And he says, now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. He says, pay attention. He said, listen up, because God wants to speak to you. I believe today in the hour we're living in, we need to listen up, because I believe, Brother Kevin, that God wants to speak to us. I know for a fact that God wants to speak to us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to help us. He wants to point us in the right direction. And He wants to lead us in the right way. But we've got to listen up in order to be able to hear. We see here some things transpiring in the Word of God. And the Bible says in verse 10, it said, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Now we can see this here in a picture. We see Samuel come to the Lord, come from the Lord to Saul. He anointed him to be king over Israel. Amen. And he put him in this lofty position, and Saul takes the responsibility. But he comes up, and he comes up short. And this man that was appointed there, he falls short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that it repenteth me. He said what Saul is doing, he said it breaks the heart of God. I believe a lot of times today in the life that we live, praise God, we break the heart of God. It's time to listen up, young. It's time to hear God speaking to us. As Brother Michael said this morning, this world, this country, this city that we live in, praise God, is a mess. And it's our fault, because we haven't listened to the Lord. We haven't hearkened unto God. It's time to listen up and see what God's got to say to me and you, so that we can go out and help someone else. There's people all around us tonight that's hurting, that need some help. There's people that need a little bit of encouragement. There's people, a whole lot of people, praise God, that just need a little bit of love, a little bit of compassion, amen, from the children of God. But the Bible said that the Lord speaks up to Samuel and said, it repented me that I set Saul to be king. He said, hey, listen, he said, he's turned back from following me. You know, God hates it when we backslide. God hates it because what we do when we backslide, we're literally taking our eyes and our focus off of God and putting it on something else. That's why we backslide. That's why we get into the miserable conditions that we get into sometimes. And then when the devil takes us out on a field day, has his way with us and leaves us out, and don't show us how to get back home, then we come to ourselves like the prodigal and we say, you know what? It's better up the Father's house. But I tell you today, praise God, we ought to just stay at the Father's house. You say, well, preacher, how can we do it? By just listening up. By just listening to what God's got to say to us and letting Him guide us through this journey of life to get us to our destination. I want to say tonight, God has a destination, praise God, for every one of us. And He wants us to be part of His perfect plan for us. God's got a plan, a unique plan for every individual in this building. Amen? Every individual, you say, well, preacher, I'm not much. You're enough, because a little's not much as God's in it. And if God's in you, praise God, He can use you for His glory. But we just need to listen up and hear what He's got to say to me and you. See, it broke God's heart because Saul had turned back from following Him. Amen? So we have here, when we have this turning back, we have a change of character and we have a change of conduct. See what happened to Saul. He had a change of character and a change of conduct. And God says, I'm not pleased with that. He had opportunity to follow me, and he's rejected following me and went back after following the things of the world. If we ain't very careful, we'll do the same thing. It's so easy to go back. But if I'm like Peter, what have we got to go back to? Said, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. So I'm just going to cleave, praise God, to the Word of God and just go on for the glory of God. But what happens is we have people falling away. We have people backsliding. And praise God, it don't break our hearts. But thank God, hey, what an example we have here. God spoke to Samuel and he said, hey, Saul's messed up. He said, it repents me. It breaks my heart that I've made him king. And the Bible said, now listen to what it says. And it grieved Samuel. And he cried unto the Lord all night. Amen. I've seen him. He slipped. He's fallen. He's gone by the wayside. He's backslid. And he said it broke Samuel's heart. And said he cried to God all night. Amen. It ought to break our heart when we see brothers and sisters backsliding. Amen. We ought to get our face, praise God, and cry out and say, Lord, please help them to get where they need to be. Help them to listen up and hear the help that you have for them, to give them that guidance, leadership that they need, praise God, to make them a part of the kingdom of God and for the glory of God. Amen? It ought to break our heart, but it doesn't. When we see ministries fail, it ought to break our heart. Amen? When we see churches failing, they're all around us. Hello, listen to me. Hey, listen, these churches all around us tonight that's failing. I mean, these churches that's literally closing the doors and putting up out of business. It ought to break our hearts that God hasn't put some man and some woman in there, praise God, with enough God on them to keep the doors open for the children's sake. Amen. Hey, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying there's lights going out in the communities that we live in. I want to say, hey, we better not take what we've got for granted. Amen. Amen, because we've got the place where God gives us to worship. We've got people that love one another, and we've got a great big God that comes through on purpose. Amen, we better praise Him and give Him glory. Amen. Every time we come in the house of God for what He's doing right here. Amen, amen. Because He could withdraw His hand and withdraw Himself. But praise be to God, I'm glad as long as we keep pushing on, Brother X, as long as we keep desiring to see Him, praise God, the manifestation of Himself, every time we come to the house of the Lord, we expect Him to go out with us, praise God. We come to worship and we go out to serve and we expect Him to go with us. Amen. We look for Him to be there when we open our mouth, praise God, to witness to someone. But if we backslide and folks backslide around us and we don't get that witness out, a change of character and a change of conduct breaks the heart of God. See, there's a way that God says that we're supposed to act and a way that we're supposed to react. And when we get in a relationship with Him, you say, well, preacher, how do you do it? Look at Isaiah chapter 1. You don't have to. I'll read it to you. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16. Listen to what God says for us to do. He said, wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Man, what instructions. Amen? He said, learn to do well. Did you know at doing well, doing right, is a learned experience? We don't have it in us to automatically do right. We are sinful creatures. We are apt to sin. We have to learn to do right. Amen. Shake your head like yes, like you agree with me. Amen. We have to learn. Where do you learn that at? See, these people today say, well, you know what, preacher? We can sit down at the house and we can do just as good as you folks that go to Bible thumpers that go to church all the time. No, they can't. Because sitting at the house, praise God, they cannot learn within themselves, praise God, how to do right. How to get away from the evil. He said, wash you. You do that by the washing of the Word. It said, make you clean. Put away the evil things, the evil of your doings. Because if we don't go to the house of God, if we don't study the Word of God, we don't know what's right and what's wrong. You say, oh yeah, preacher, the world tells us. Yeah, right. You listen to the world, you end up in hell. Amen? Hey, the only way we know the difference between good, right, and wrong, praise God, is the Word of God. And God is explicit in the way He tells us. There's no gray areas with God. Amen. Hey, the sodomites and things this world is trying to tell them that everything's okay and God made them that way. God does not make mistakes. In order for that to be, God, they would have to say that God made a mistake and God don't make mistakes. You know what sodomy is? It's a learned experience. Amen. It's practiced. It's just like being a drug addict or an alcoholic. Praise God, it's practiced sin. And we've practiced, and you know what practice does? It makes perfect. Amen. It makes perfect. So it's practiced. People say, well, and they say now, well, you know what, preacher? We found out through scientific studies that in your genes, you have a gene in you. Some people have a gene that when they taste alcohol, they become alcoholic. It's in their gene. Amen? It may be. But what the cure for that is to never take that drink. Amen? If you never take that first drink, you never trigger that mechanism or that gene or whatever it is, praise God, to make you into an alcoholic. God says that we need to stay away from those things that would mess up our minds. Amen? Yeah, well, preacher, it's okay to smoke a little dope. It's natural. It's an herb. Yeah, this world's full of the curse. Amen? Amen. It's full of the curse. You take that curse into you, praise God. How do you know if it's a curse? It alters your mind and it kills brain cells. Newsflash. Most of you are like me. You can't afford that. Amen? We need to stay with the Lord. But He says, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Amen? That's good advice. Amen. You know, if we could do that, we wouldn't have to worry about the welfare programs. Amen. We wouldn't have to worry about the WIC program because we'd take care of our own. Amen. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now look at verse 19. He said, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Pretty straightforward. God says, if you choose to do right, be obedient to God. He said, if you'll listen up, the only way we know how to do what God says is to listen up. We have to listen to what He says. Amen? So that He can move in us and work through us. Now Samuel, the Bible says in verse 12, of 1 Samuel 15, says, when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place and is gone about, and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. Now Gilgal was a place where he was confirmed, or where they confirmed he made him king. And he said, Saul has came in and said he set up a place. Now you know what place he set up? He set up a monument to himself. See, he was caught up in vanity and he said, look what I did. Look what I've done. And he sets up a monument there, and when Samuel comes, he said, look, he's made him a place here. And he's went on. If we ain't very careful, we'll get in this world and we get heated and high-minded and we'll set us up a place and then we'll just keep trucking. And we'll say, look, we'll say to the world, look what I did. Amen. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing that we can do without the help of the Lord. Amen. You won't get up in the morning and take the next breath, praise God, if the Lord don't let you. You may pillow your head at night, praise God, and you say, well, I heard a fellow say one time, I wish God just leave me alone. And I told him, I said, fellow, if God leaves you alone, you won't take another breath. You're done. You're finished. Because God gives you, hey, He speaks to your mind and says, breathe in, breathe out. Amen? Kind of like we're blondes. No offense. Breathe in, breathe out. Amen. Hey, you say, you preacher, how do you know it? Because I've got a deficiency. Amen. When I go to sleep at night, my brain don't tell me to breathe in. I quit breathing. That's why I have to use a CPAP. Because when I quit breathing, it goes, whoosh, forces air into my lungs, and praise God, makes me breathe. And then I take off again. Amen. It's a defeat. Why? And if God withdraws His hand from you, you're done. You're finished. You'll never draw another breath. Amen. But praise God, He said, hey, listen, it's not about me. It's not about what I've done. It's about what God does for me. Brother Bill, we ought to be able to get up every morning and praise God for being able to get up another morning. Amen. This is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it because of what God has given us. But He makes a monument. I'm going to try to hurry. I've got a lot to preach here. There's a lot in this. I won't try to get it all. I won't be all night. You just got anywhere to go tomorrow. Ain't tomorrow a holiday? Everybody off? Good. Amen. But now Samuel, he says this stuff and said, the Bible verse 13 says, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. Now listen to this. He said, now notice the self-confidence that he has here. The self-confidence. He says, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Amen. I mean, you talk about arrogance. You talk about self-confidence. You talk about this vanity that he has in himself. He says, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And I can just see Samuel. Can you just see this? Samuel's there and he says this. And about that time Samuel says, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? He said, did you bring all these critters with you to battle? He said, what's the meaning of this lowing and at the stuff I hear? But Saul's got an answer. So see, he goes from self-confidence to just pleading his own guilt. He said, what's this that I hear? If you've done obeyed to God, then what's going on here? So Saul began, have you ever noticed that when somebody's living in sin and doing things that's wrong, they've always got an excuse? Amen? They've always got it mapped up in their mind exactly what they're doing to make it right. Amen? Even though they're out in left field. But Saul says this. Saul said, they have brought them. Now let's look at this. They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord. Now listen to what he says, thy God. Now all through here, notice he says the Lord, thy God. He don't say the Lord, my God. He keeps saying the Lord, thy God. Amen? There's significance in that. He said unto the Lord, thy God, and the rest we, now he starts taking responsibility. He said, the rest we have utterly destroyed. Amen? So the part that he thought he done right, he said, I done that. But the part that they messed up on, he said, them people done that. Amen? But now notice what Samuel says. He brings this thing around full fold. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell you what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, stay on. So Saul said, if you'll just camp out right here a minute, sit down, let me have your attention. I'll explain to you what God has showed me tonight. And Saul says, okay. He said, I'll sit here with you. Go ahead. He said, I ain't done nothing wrong. He said, I'm following the commandments of God. And Samuel said, verse 17, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. He said, hold on a minute. Let me just throw up a caution here. He said, pride has rose up in you, Saul. He said, when you was little in your own sight, when you didn't think you was fit for nothing, amen, God made you a king over Israel. You remember the story of what happened whenever Saul was made king? Look back at 1 Samuel chapter 10. Remember, the Bible says that the Samuel saved Saul, and he anointed to be king, he brings him forth, and he's going to present him to the people. In chapter 10 and verse 21, he said, when they had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matre was taken. Now listen to this. And Saul the son of Kish was taken, and when they sought him, now listen to this, he could not be found. So just picture this. Samuel gathers all the tribes together. He grabs the tribe of Benjamin, which Saul was out of, and he says, hey, listen. He said, we got to get you all together. He said, you've been wanting a king. He said, you don't really want it, but you don't really know what you're doing. But he said, we're going to give you a king. And so they go, okay. He said, here's your king. He said, where's Saul? And they said, we don't know. He said, we've looked everywhere, and we can't find him. Now, he was head and shoulders above every man in the place. He'd been hard to miss. It's been kind of like Brother Michael here this morning and me, praise God. You may not notice me, but you couldn't help but see him. Amen. And the Bible says, and said, therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. Amen. this great and mighty king that God was setting over nation Israel, praise God, he was so backward and so insecure, that, praise God, he went to one of the caravan wagons, praise God, moved up the furniture in it and hid himself in the wagon. Hey, they had to go dig him out of stuff and present him to the people. Amen? So the Bible said they ran and they fetched him, they set him up and they present him to the people. But he didn't get heady and high-minded. He was still just old Saul. How do you know? Look at chapter 11. And the Bible says there was some things going on. There was some disturbance. There was people rising up against the nation of Israel, against Judah, and from Jabesh. And they come to Saul and said in verse 5 of chapter 11, it said, "Behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. And Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh." So Saul, praise God, he wasn't sitting in a kingly palace. He was still herding sheep. Amen. He was still doing the part of a herdsman. If he would have kept a humble heart and just kept shepherding the sheep, praise God, he would have been okay. But he, praise God, he took his mind and his eyes off of God and he began to get elevated in himself. Amen. Samuel said, "Saul," he said, "when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the kings of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed." He said, go and utterly destroy them, praise God, where there's not even a residue left of them, till they're totally consumed. That means to be got plumb shed of. God had a reason for this, by the way. If he would have just listened up, he would have knew God's reasoning. If we would listen up, praise God, we would know what God's trying to tell us to do and why he wants us to do it. Because he said in 1 Samuel chapter 15, in verse 2, verse 1, he said, "Hearken thou to the voice of the Lord." He said, listen up, pay attention. I'm going to speak to you. Verse 2, he says, "The Lord, thus saith the Lord of hosts." Now he's talking about the Lord of hosts. That's the Lord of the angelic army. That's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He speaks to him and he says, "Remember." He said, "I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. How he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt." He said, and so Samuel said, God gave you specific directions for what you needed to do. And all you had to do is follow the directions. Now, women probably do this. Men probably have more trouble because men don't like to follow directions. Amen? Me and Teresa was coming to church this morning. We was following a car, and there was two men in it from Florida. I believe it's Florida. And as we got closer to them, I could see they had something spread out. And as we got closer, I realized that they had a big old map spread across the passenger seat. And they was going here to and fro on that map. And I told my wife, I said, "Oh man." She said, "What?" I said, "There's two men in a car with a map. They'll never make it." Amen. Because men know where we're going. And we know how to get there. If we have to get out a map, then we're lost. We'll never make it. Amen. But women, I guess you do better than men, because when I get something starting to put together, first thing I know, I look and my wife's looking over my shoulder and she's got the instructions. Men don't need instructions. Man, men, we're men. Amen. We know everything. Not. See, that's the problem. Saul thought he knew everything. But God said, "You know what? You need to remember." God says, "I remember what Amalek did to the children of Israel." Look at Deuteronomy chapter 25. Well, I'll turn there and read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17. Moses is giving directions for what's taking place. And in verse 17, chapter 25, verse 17, Bible says, "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when ye were come forth out of Egypt." Now listen to this. How he met thee by the way, and smotest the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Amen? And God says, Samuel, he said to Saul, remember what Amalek did to the little. He said, as you came out of Israel, said he come behind you, just like the stinking devil that he is. See, Amalek is a type of the devil. Amen? An Amalek is a type of sin. Amen? And he said, sin sneaks up behind you and he takes those that's weak. That's what he does in a church, by the way. He'll sneak into the church house and praise God, he'll take hold of those that's weak. Those that's young in the faith, those that's just getting in, those that's struggling, those that's going through hardships, and the devil just pounces on them. And he destroys those that are feeble and weak, those that are weary. Amen? The Lord said, I remember what he did when I brought the children out of Israel. How the devil pounced on them for everything he's worth. And he smote those that was weak and feeble. He got them from behind. See, the devil never hits you head on. Amen. You say, well, I see people all the time say, well, the devil just hit me head on. No, he don't do that. He broadsides you. He'll hit you from behind, amen. He's sneaky that way. But he said, hey, you remember what Amalek did when they come up out of Egypt. So Samuel says here, he said, yea, and Saul, in verse 20, he said, God says, you remember what Amalek did, that old wicked one. He said, yes, and I remember. He said, and we dealt with that. And Saul said unto Samuel, verse 20, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Amalek, the king of Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. What he's saying here, he said, yeah, I said, I obeyed the Lord. I done what God told me. And I utterly destroyed the Amalekites. It'd be like going, it'd be like storming hell with a water gun and putting a fire out and leaving the devil in charge. Amen? He said, hey, we utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but said we kept Agag alive. That type of sin. And God said, hey, listen, no, said you don't do that. You go in there and utterly destroy those things that would tempt the flesh. Those things that would dissuade you. Those things that would draw you aside. He said, you got to utterly destroy those things that would tempt you. He said, you got to utterly destroy those things, praise God, that would draw you away from God. Got to get rid of them. Got to get them out of your life. What good's it going to do to get rid of a few things? See, that's what they did. Over in verse 8, he says, and he took Agag, the king of Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with edge and sword. He destroyed a multitude of sins. But he left the biggest one. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen, the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good. Have you ever noticed how we'll destroy those sins in our lives, those things that we know just awful and wicked? But we keep those little pet sins. Amen. Say amen or oh me. We've all got these little pet sins that we keep. But he said, hey, listen, to get rid of the Amalekites, get rid of that sin, praise God, it's so easy to beset you. He said, you got to get rid of all of it and start fresh. You got to start with a clean slate. Amen. If not, they're going to be nipping at your heels all the days of your life. Amen. We can't hold on to our pet sins. You know those little sins, you know, that people don't know about? Those things that we do at the house or we do in our own private time. You know, when you go in there and get on that computer and look at, you know, them things you shouldn't look at. Amen? They owe me. Amen? Are those television programs you watch that really you couldn't watch if the kids was there? Huh? Amen? Those things that we do and those places we go, praise God, if we wouldn't want our church people to see us there, newsflash, God's already seen you. Amen. But we can't just pick and choose our sins. We can't pick and choose the things that we like. Praise God, if it's dishonoring to God, we need to get rid of it. Praise the Lord. But he said, but the people took the spoil, the sheep and oxen, the chief of the things, which would... See, he never does take responsibility. See, King Saul, he was King Saul. He was in authority over the people. God made him King Saul. Amen? But every time he got his hiney in a sling, praise God, he said, the people done it. He was supposed to be the representative and the authority of the people. When they come with them sheep and them things and Agag, he said, hey, wait a minute. We got to destroy all this stuff. God said to. Get it out of the way. But he tries to justify it in his mind. He tries to make it okay. Listen to what he says. He said, and Samuel said, he said, and the people took the spoil of sheep and oxen, chief things which should have been utterly destroyed, and the sacrifice of the Lord thy God. There it is again in Gilgal. Thy God. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He said, you need to listen up. Hey, doesn't God have more respect for somebody that's obedient than for sacrifices? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, to listen. That's what that means, to listen up. To listen to what God's saying. He said, it's a hearken than the fat of rams. See, the fat of rams, I don't know, special lamb, and the fat of the ram is that back part. They had a place on their above their tail, praise God, that was a choice part. It was called the fat of the ram. Amen? And he said, to listen to God is better than offering that best part of that ram. Amen? To just listen to the Lord. Because he said, for the rebellion, just to hear what he's got to say, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. How many people would like to practice witchcraft? None of us, right? We don't do that. We know it's wrong. But he said to rebel, not listen to God, is the same as being a witch. Hello, that's a wake you up. He said, and stubbornness, how many of us are stubborn? Come on now. How many of us are stubborn? How many of us are liars? Amen. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. To be stubborn-minded, rebellious against God, he said it's just like iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. And this is what Saul says. Saul's confession. I believe it's confession, but it's not from his heart. Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. But he's got a reason. Here's his excuse. He says he's always got an excuse. Have you ever noticed that people that live in sin have always got an excuse? People that don't listen to God have always got an excuse for not listening up. He said, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. In essence, what he's saying, he said, I feared the people more than I feared God. When we disobey God because of what somebody wants us to do, then we're more fearful of that person than we are of God. Amen? And Saul said unto him, I have sinned. But he wasn't sincere. He said, I feared the people more than I feared God. And he said, hey, listen, said, this is, you just got to ask God to pardon me. I got to get some forgiveness. He said, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king of Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold on his skirt of his mantle and rent it. He tore it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. Now listen to this. I pray thee before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Listen to this one more time. Thy God. Amen. You see the problem with King Saul? He never did receive the Lord as his God. He never did make God his God. Therefore, he could not obey the commandments of God. He couldn't listen up and hear what God was saying to him. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Now listen to this, and I'm done. He said, so Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring me hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. Now can't you just see the self-confidence of sin? Said, surely, you know, you've done enough to please God. You don't have to get rid of all your sin. You can do, you know, you can keep that little pet sin that you got. It'd be okay. Surely we don't have to put away everything. But now listen what Samuel does. And Samuel said, remember God says, I remember when the children came out of Israel, how Amalekites got them from the back, and how they destroyed and took down those that was weak and those that weary. So I remember that. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Amen. Samuel, that prophet of God, that man of God, he took that sword and he took that sin and he hewed that sin to pieces, chopped it up into little bitty fine pieces and got rid of it. Amen. He said, that's the way God said to do it. Amen. He showed King Saul. Romans chapter 8, 13, Bible says, For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Amen. Saul said, hey, listen, I think I've done what God said. God said, you've totally disobeyed me. He said, I told you to go out and just totally wipe out sin and even the presence of sin. But you know what? The Amalekites would rise up, and they would continue to rise up till God put them down. Amen. But you know what? What we have to do, we have to listen up in order to be able to hear what God's got for us, that we can be obedient to Him. Because obedience is a whole lot better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We must obey God and not men.